We're going to Book of Acts. Going to the Book of Acts. And we're going to touch the Lord on Acts chapter 4. Because I kept hearing the prayer of the saints together. We're going to start at verse 22. The believer's prayer. Believers with an S. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea.
Kim, excuse me, did you say Acts 4:22?
Acts 4:23, sorry. 23. Did I say 22?
Yeah. That's all right. You can have some bread.
I can have a little bit of grace?
Oh, maybe you can.
Good. I can have more bread. You can take another bread. Sorry. I guess I need an adjustment, right? You still get the message, however. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. When you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. That's Christ the Messiah. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against the holy servant, Jesus. Against your holy servant, Jesus. Whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Did you hear that? Mm-hmm. Say, Lord, I have some servants that are in my family. And they're hiding right now. But you, when you decided that something should happen, it would. And it did. And it's in progress. And it will be for your glory. Verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. I repeat. Say, Lord Jesus, consider their threats and enable me, your servant, to speak your word with great boldness on time. Verse 30, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Has anything changed? Are there those that are against his corporate body? Are there those that don't like you because of your title? Christian. Are there those that are threatening? Yeah. But say, verse 30 is for me. Holy Spirit, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, they placed The place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And spoke the word of God boldly. You see, when it's time to speak boldly, God's coordinates will come into place, and there may be some shaking, usually around my knees.
Amen.
All right? And it's okay. There are times that you need to speak, and there are times that you need to be quiet and intercede, depending on the need from the Spirit within you. Verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. All the believers were what?
One in heart and mind.
One in heart. That's the purpose of the heart. The Lord brought his own heart to show us what he had available. He chose Susan. You see, I didn't know what was inside. I didn't even read that particular verse because I didn't go there. Because the vision I had this afternoon was the word where they were shaking and the Holy Spirit came again. I believe when those apple blossoms hit tonight, because they're here. I purchased them last week. I put them up there because I said, Lord, I want that reminder that you are about to do something so out of the box that we will be awed by what you have performed from your outstretched hand. And I didn't remember the particular chapter, but I went looking this afternoon after I had that vision. And I reminded myself when I met Bob Jones years ago that he had an incredible word for Claude. Claude was down from the House of Prayer for the North Kingdom. And we went to see Bob. And at that time, he had just gotten married for the second time. And she shared her commission from the Lord to marry this man who had lost his wife. And was very broken. If you've never heard a testimony about obedience, she's about 20-something years younger than him. And the Holy Spirit had sent her to Alaska. And all she was praying and interceding. And the Holy Spirit told her that she was to pray for Bob Jones because she had met him in a conference at some point. And she felt bad for him because he had lost his wife. Never knowing that the Holy Spirit would anoint someone to make a phone call to her and ask her to marry this man. So she had been praying for this man for many years. And the Holy Spirit, I don't know if it's Rick Joyner or one of his team, won a phone call to her in Alaska. They knew her by name and asked her to marry this man so that she could take care of him and be a part of his ministry. And when she put that on the internet, I reminded myself of how blessed I was of her obedience. Because like I said, I don't know all the details. All I know is they had a wonderful time learning about the things of the Lord together. And when he went home a few weeks back, just a little while before he went home, he had an incredible dream or vision about the apple blossoms coming in 2014, and it would break loose something awesome for God.
How long were they married?
Maybe 10 years or less. Could be 7. So it was, let's say, a marriage ordained of the Lord rather than a flesh marriage. And I don't want to go into details because that's none of my business. But I know that there was a lot of difference in their years. And he was a very
let's say, needy gentleman. But because of her obedience, one of the personal friends at his funeral that I listened to at the I can't think of the name of the ministry.
Morningstar Ministry.
Said that Bob said he had a wonderful first wife, but his second wife taught him how to love.
Wow.
Yeah. She was the instrument God used to turn him around. Because when he died in the 1970s. And when he got into the heavens, that was when his wife, first wife, was still living. I don't remember the details, but they told him he needed to come back. The Lord said, you need to go back. You haven't learned how to love yet. So how do we learn how to love? We let go of self. If you don't let go of self, you'll never learn how to love. Jesus was not interested in his own agenda. He was a servant. That message on Sunday that I gave you, I know was of the Lord because it had one particular theme: servants. This message is the same: servants. They did not consider one better than the other. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any one of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. It didn't say one better than another. It was what? Much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. You say, well, you're talking about money, and you normally don't. No, you're right. When I was with my cousin this past week, we talked about this church. And I said to him, we have been established for 12 years, and if I spoke about money for over those 12 years, I would say maybe less than 12 times, because I don't. We've never passed a basket. We've put a box there for special needs, but we've never asked for money. That's not my job. Okay? And I said to him, are there any of your family offended because of excessive money grabbers? Oh, he says, of course. Well, we don't have that problem because we don't ask and we don't pass the basket. And he couldn't understand that. He says, how have you survived? Because of him. And because of our obedience. To just give as the Lord told us to give. Why do we do this? Because we don't want another excuse for people not to come to church. And it's not God's way. How many of you have ever been asked to give money at this house of prayer? Put your hand up right now. How many have been compelled by the Holy Spirit to give? Why? Because he talks to you. He knows how to talk. They what? They all obeyed. Why would they sell their property? Because the whole city was going to be torn down. Yeah? So why hold on to property? Right? The Lord knew that this whole city would be torn down. We're talking about downtown Jerusalem. What was left after the Romans got done with it in 70 AD? Nothing. Why did he move them out? He moved them out because they persecuted them. Because if you keep looking at the book of Acts, you see they were persecuted for a purpose. So that they would go out. Why are you and I being pressed of God to do what we are? Just to obey. That's it. That's the bottom line. But again, the Holy Spirit is the one that will change lives. The Holy Spirit was the one that took me and brought my buddy all the way from California to bring me to my first prayer meeting. 1977, February. Never been the same since. It's all his fault. Bow your heads. Say, Father, give me wisdom. Give me an understanding of your plan for my life. I do not want to miss the boat. I will be on time and in the boat of safety, just like Noah with the ark. And when God closes the door, it's going to be okay by me. Because that's what he did. As an example to us. And what happens in the world will be like it was in the times of Noah. So I shouldn't get upset when people do what normal people do that don't know God. They're sinners full time. So why should I get upset? They're doing what comes naturally. And if I need to speak, you'll give me the boldness. You'll give me the word. And I will obey. God will get the glory. Amen.